Welcome to the Marietta Daily Journal podcast. Today is Tuesday, May the 4th. Happy Star Wars Day, and may the 4th be with you. I'm Dan Ratcliffe, and here are your top stories brought to you by Credit Union of Georgia. Marietta's prom photo shoot tradition continues. Kelly Loeffler and Cobb Republicans held a roundtable meeting at the Marietta Diner on Friday. Governor Brian Kemp has ended most of Georgia's coronavirus restrictions. Cobb Chairwoman Lisa Cupid discussed a wide range of topics with the MDJ this week. A new park and ride lot will provide bus service from Acworth to Atlanta, and the first 4 months are free. And finally, with the pending Cobb School District audit, attention has turned to the accreditation industry.
You deserve better than your bank. Better service, better rates, better solutions. If you live or work in Cobb County, now is the perfect time to make the switch to the Credit Union of Georgia, the better way to bank. Since 1960, Credit Union of Georgia has been providing Northwest Georgia with financial solutions that make sense for your home, business, and family. As a homegrown, not-for-profit cooperative, our members are our mission. Not only will you get the best loan rates, you'll get personalized customer service from people who understand your needs. Plus, Credit Union of Georgia provides real convenience with a network of more than 30,000 accessible ATMs and branch locations across the country. Of course, there's also 5 locations right here in Cobb County. Ready to see how much better your banking can be with Credit Union of Georgia? Become a member today or apply for a loan online by visiting www.cuofga.org. Credit Union of Georgia, the better way to bank.
For the fifth year at Ivy Grove, a 10,000-square-foot antebellum mansion near Marietta Square, Marietta High School juniors gathered for their traditional prom photo on Saturday. The photo has been hosted at Ivy Grove since former Marietta Councilman Philip Goldstein bought the property in 2016. This year would have been the sixth had it not been for COVID-19 canceling the 2020 photo. Meanwhile, Marietta seniors took their group photo at Brumby Hall, a traditional photo which began in the late 1960s. Back then, seniors, along with their friends and family, had their photos taken at the Kennesaw Avenue home of Bobby Burris, but it was moved in 2011 to the historic Brumby Hall to accommodate a growing graduating class. Former U.S. Senator Kelly Loeffler and a small group of Cobb County Republicans mulled how the GOP can dominate again in Georgia at the Marietta Diner on Friday.
Rest assured, the fight to advance the American dream is far from over. The fight to protect conservative values is far from over.
Conceived as a roundtable on Ms. Loeffler's new nonprofit Greater Georgia, she was joined by Commissioner Joanne Burrell, Sally Grubbs, the new chair of the Cobb Republican Party, and other local Republicans. Greater Georgia was founded earlier this year, billed as the right's answer to Stacey Abrams' organizing and fundraising juggernaut Fair Fight. Greater Georgia will be holding training seminars with grassroots Republican organizations like the Cobb GOP, emphasizing voter registration and engagement, especially in off years. After the roundtable, the MDJ asked Ms. Loeffler why she chose to keep her hat in the arena rather than return to private life. She said, quote, "I'm a lifelong conservative and I've been involved in our party here in Georgia for over a decade. Our values as a country are under attack by the left, and we need people who will stand up and fight." Governor Brian Kemp signed an executive order Friday that will end most of the state's remaining coronavirus restrictions. Distancing and employee mask requirements at bars and restaurants have ended, as will specific requirements for gyms and fitness centers, movie theaters, body art studios, estheticians, hairstylists, and massage therapists. Social distancing recommendations will be strongly encouraged rather than required per the order. In a wide-ranging interview with the Marietta Daily Journal this week, Cobb Chairwoman Lisa Cupid discussed her transition from serving as a member of the county's governing board to leading it, early successes, an upcoming sales tax referendum, and renewed efforts to create a new crop of cities in Cobb County. Chairwoman Cupid shared her personal take on several issues percolating in the county. On cityhood, she said that more affordable housing is needed, but cannot be concentrated solely in Cobb's low-income and majority-minority communities. On transit, she says the commissioners have agreed that they would like to put a referendum on a new transit and transportation-focused special-purpose local option sales tax before county voters. Chairwoman Cupid also touched briefly on the recent controversy over Cobb County School District's accreditation. To read the full interview with Chairwoman Lisa Cupid, please visit mdjonline.com.
Engineer Solutions of Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, this is Jay and Lewis, owners of Engineered Solutions of Georgia. Lewis, what should a homeowner do if they have a crack in their block wall, corner of their door, window, or concrete foundation?
Well, Jay, if it's a diagonal crack, this lets us know that they should be concerned and there could be a serious problem. Then they should call our office at 678-ESOG-NOW and set up an appointment to have one of our qualified professional technicians come out to their property to take a look at the problem.
I'm consumer investigator Dale Cardwell. I've done the research already, so you don't have to. You can trust Engineered Solutions of Georgia.
Give Engineered Solutions of Georgia a call at 678-ESOG-NOW.
Engineered Solutions of Georgia. We guarantee a stable, dry foundation.
There's now park and ride bus service from Acworth to downtown Atlanta. The Hickory Grove Park and Ride lot is located on Hickory Grove Road, right off I-75, and the service is free for the first 4 months. For more information and to see schedules, visit mdjonline.com. If any of Georgia's 181 public school districts want to have their schools accredited, they only have two options to choose from in the Peach State. One of the two groups, the Alpharetta-based nonprofit Cognia, has become a global force in the accreditation business, pushing the other option, Georgia Accrediting Commission, to the back of many Georgia school districts' minds. The Cognia investigation into the Cobb County School District was brought on by a request from the Cobb School Board's three Democratic members, Sharice Davis, Dr. Jaha Howard, and Leroy Trey Hutchins. In light of the controversy, lawmakers and state leaders say it may be time to discuss alternatives for accreditation. MDJ senior reporter Thomas Hartwell had a chance to speak with the president and CEO of Cognia, Dr. Mark Elgert.
A lot of people that are concerned about this are concerned about things like I said, the consequences that could come with an accreditation loss, property values, businesses leaving, staff, students leaving, which has happened in other districts. Is there anything that you can say to those people who are concerned, and what is sort of the timeline if you know that?
I think what people need to do is not jump to a conclusion or jump to the end of this. This is what happened in Clayton and DeKalb took several years to unfold. It didn't happen overnight. And what we do by beginning this process, it's a process of improvement. We are really not anywhere near the potential loss of accreditation. What we come in on these reviews is we are in there for the purpose of helping the district improve. We give them direction. Then they have the opportunity to improve, and we monitor those efforts. If they fail to improve, which improvement like this doesn't happen overnight, it's going to take a few years. If they fail to improve in a way that benefits the district, then it could move to a next layer of review where we're saying, okay, why didn't you improve? What are the consequences of you not improving for the district's effectiveness? And what steps should you now take? So for those people that are concerned about the ultimate, I think they should step back and say, why is Cobb County involved in this process in the first place? They're involved and have been historically. They're one of the largest school systems, not only in the state of Georgia, the entire country, to be fully accredited. Part of the reason they are is because they want to improve. They commit to these standards as a method to improve. So this review is in that commitment. It is a process of improvement. And Cobb County's history with us has been that they've had other times where they've had to improve. And each time, they've made the commitment and actually made the improvement.
And their accreditation has not changed. Their accreditation status has not changed.
Because they've taken serious that commitment. So even in the district's response to the public, they said they are committed to this process, as they historically have been. They will do what they need to do to improve. So I think people need to give it time. It's in no way at a stage where they should worry that a loss of accreditation is imminent, because it's not. Mm-hmm. We're just at the very beginning of a process.
Gotcha. And you said in your notice to the school district that received numerous complaints. It was not just the board letter. There were complaints from community and staff. Can you give me an idea of how many complaints you received and what some examples might have been?
Well, I know there was over at least 50 different complaints, and they ranged from the district's management of the coronavirus, which, you know, to be honest with you, there's a lot of those types of concerns across the entire country. It's a very difficult situation. That's been one area. The other area was Wheeler High School, the naming of Wheeler High School. The third area was schools in the district that have been struggling to perform for a number of years, underperformance in these schools and the district's response to the needs of those schools that are struggling. And the fourth area was the board governance. So those are the four top areas where we heard. We heard other complaints that are individual in nature. They're about my individual kid's experience. We don't adjudicate individual matters. We look at the effectiveness of the schools and school system, not what an individual student might have had an issue with a teacher or might have had an issue with another member of the staff. That's for the district to manage.
Sure. And to that point, for example, in the three board members letter who wrote to you in January, they mentioned that one of their, you know, they've had multiple points of conflict over the past couple of years. And one thing recently that they gave an example of was they felt that they were being silenced or that members of the board were being silenced. But there's sort of this difficult situation that you guys might find yourself in that, you know, a number of these board members were elected and are, you know, in one example, a policy change has meant that four board members have to sign on to an agenda item instead of three to get it on the agenda. In that situation, these board members are elected by people who essentially approve or disapprove of their actions. So, what kind of position does that put you guys in? Are you coming in and deciding on something like that, whether it's right or wrong?
Not the individual policy, but is the policy contributing to the effectiveness of the board, or is the policy contributing to the dysfunction of the board? And that's, I don't know the answer to that, and that's part of the review process. So we go right back to, you know, they establish policies as they should. Do the collection of policies help this board govern effectively? And if they do, great. If they don't, we'll identify policies that may need review because they are a stumbling block or they are negatively impacting the ability of the board to govern. But we won't tell them, change this policy to read this way. That's their purview and their responsibility. We'll identify what we believe contribute to the ineffectiveness of the board.
When you have experienced the loss of a loved one, you can trust Carmichael Funeral Home to guide you through the arrangements necessary to create a meaningful ceremony that celebrates the unique life being honored. At Carmichael Funeral Homes in Smyrna and Marietta, our staff is committed to providing your family with the highest quality care and service in your time of need. In addition, we take pride in our responsibility to lighten your burden as you take the first steps toward healing. No matter what your choice, we believe in lives lived well. Please contact us with any questions regarding your pre-arrangement requests. At Carmichael Funeral Homes in Smyrna and Marietta, individual attention, providing support to the community, healing lives and grieving hearts, and celebrating lives well lived are our privilege to help. Contact us today or visit us online at CarmichaelFuneralHomes.com. Celebrating memories you'll always cherish. Carmichael Funeral Homes. Thanks for listening to the Marietta Daily Journal podcast. This podcast is a production of BG Ad Group. Please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.